Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Saturday here, kegs and eggs throughout the season. However, the Buckeyes' regular season is over. They have a bowl game, and that's it. No playoff this year. Talk about that and so much more on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline. It is none other than Bo Bishop. Also, you can catch him on Spectrum with 11 Warriors. Bo, I'll just flat out ask you, was the 2017 college football season a disappointment for Urban Meyer and Ohio State?
Yeah, because the standard that they've set is playoff or bust, and they didn't make the playoff, and it's their own fault. You can't lose by 31 at Iowa. You got a home game against Oklahoma. You win any one of those games, and you're in the playoff. You didn't, and so you're not. And, it falls at their feet. It's the standard he's set. They've had four of these things. He's made it twice. The thing that's a little, I think, odd from a Buckeye fan standpoint, if you try to wrap your head around this, you know, they've had a playoff four times, and at no point in those 4 years has Ohio State unequivocally, no doubt, been in. Every single one of these Sundays, they're sweating it out, waiting to see if they're the team that the committee lets in. And last year they did, and this year they didn't. So, yeah, it's a disappointment.
Is there anything that you can actually nail down and say that this is important to the committee, or are we still just kind of figuring it out year by year?
Well, I think the two things that jump out to me is the two most disingenuous things. Number one is the idea that the week-to-week poll matters, and we pore over it and look at it like the Zapruder film, and it's just not. It doesn't matter week-to-week. The thing is completely meaningless, and they're making a TV show, and a lot of people watch it. I get it. But pay no attention to that thing on a week-to-week basis. You'd save yourself a lot of time. And the second thing that I think was a little disingenuous was the committee obviously never felt that Wisconsin was the number four team in the country. They put them there for show. They put him there begrudgingly. If Wisconsin was the number four team in the country and the committee really felt they were the fourth best team and Ohio State beat them, no matter what the score was, Ohio State had to be in the playoff over Alabama. So that was a fraudulent poll. Wisconsin was not the four team. Wisconsin should have been ranked 10th or 11th, according to the committee, the way that they valued the win over Wisconsin for Ohio State. So I think those are the things that would bother me if from an Ohio State perspective. I think what they've done is basically say, hey, trust us. These are the four best teams. And I'm fine with that. They're a committee. That's their job to decide who the four best teams are. I can't argue that Ohio State is a better team than Alabama. I won't do that. I think Alabama would be favored, certainly head-to-head, and I think Alabama's a more complete team than Ohio State, so I don't have a problem with them getting in. I just have a little bit of problem with the process.
Bo Bishop, join us on the hotline. I should ask you real briefly, if Wisconsin wins that Big Ten championship game, even though the committee didn't think much of them, they're in, right? So there goes the eye test.
They'd have to be. That's the point that bugs me, is like by them putting them four, if Wisconsin beat Ohio State, they would have begrudgingly, I believe, put Wisconsin in. But they clearly did not believe that Wisconsin was one of the four best teams in the country. So why the heck do you have them ranked there?
Yeah.
I mean, they should have been 10th or 11th. I mean, it was really disingenuous to have Wisconsin sitting there fourth in the country. And then to make them sixth, well, no, you don't believe they're sixth. If you thought they were that good and Ohio State beat them in any way, shape, or form, Ohio State would have made the playoff. And so that's the part, there was dishonesty, I think, there on the committee's part. And I think, you know, that's the only thing I have an issue with. If you want to say these are the four best teams, okay, fair enough. I'm not convinced of Georgia, but you're not going to leave a one-loss SEC champion out, so that's fine.
Bo Bishop, join us on the hotline. I'm just curious because now we're at a point where you mentioned a great point. I haven't really heard anybody talk about it, that Ohio State in the 4 years that they've been doing this have not unequivocally been in that top four. They've had to kind of need other help around them. They've needed the committee to be on their side. Unfortunately, they didn't get that whole eye test thing in 2015 when they had a stacked team. But is there anything wrong? Is there anything functionally wrong right now with Ohio State's football program? I know it sounds ridiculous looking at Urban Meyer's record.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's the third most consistent program in the country behind Alabama and Clemson. I mean, I think you got to put Clemson ahead of them now because, you know, they've won the national title more recently and they're in this thing every single year. So they're the number one team again. They've been unequivocally in most of the time. So Clemson's probably the second best program in the country at the moment. Ohio State's third. third most consistent. There's nothing wrong with it. I think, you know, what we've had the last couple of years is just maddening inconsistencies offensively. And I think that's hard sometimes to wrap your head around, because you watch them play and you go, boy, you see all this talent. Why is this not coming to fruition? And I think some of it are the limitations of JT Barrett as a quarterback. We've had a full sample size of him now. We kind of know who he is. He's in the Hall of Very Good. He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's not in the Hall of Great. He's in the Hall of Good. And there's limitations to what he can do and what the offense can do against, you know, equal talent. And that has shined through on a few occasions. And maybe it came back to bite him on Saturday, too. I was always a believer that they had to annihilate Wisconsin. I said that last week on your guys' show, and said it on Bull and Fox on Friday and on my show on Saturday, that they really needed to be impressive. They weren't. I mean, that game trended like a game that should have been, you know, 41-7. It just never got there. So I think that's the thing that jumps out the last couple of years, is just the maddening inconsistencies offensively. And really, if you bring up 2015, and there's no doubt that that was one of the four best teams in the country without question, they lose that late game to Michigan State that we all remember. But if you go back to that game, you remember how inept they were offensively and how Zeke didn't get it enough. That's been the other thing, is they just ignore their running backs for whatever reasons in tight spots. And they tend to put it on the quarterback. In the last 3 years, that quarterback's been JT Barrett, and he's a really, really good college quarterback. He's a really good college quarterback, but he's not somebody that I think you can put a program like Ohio State on his shoulders and say, go win a national championship the way Deshaun Watson could, or Baker Mayfield, or some of these other guys can.
Bo Bishop with us on the show. Do you switch it to six teams or eight teams then?
No, Kenny. I say keep it at four. I think you go two. I think you do one or two things. You can either stay at four and keep it as it is, because you're always going to have people complaining, or you go all the way to 16 and you get rid of the conference championships, and you do it the same way, you know, that 1AA does it, where it's a 16-team playoff, or it was for most of the time it's been around, and you just get rid of the conference championships game. I mean, it was proven this weekend that the conference championships games are just there for television anyway.
Yeah.
So you could very easily have that first round of 16. Be last weekend, and they could just play it right up to January 1st, and it would do a much bigger rating than any sort of conference champion is going to do anyway. So if it's in the interest of television, it would still be beneficial. If it's in the interest of finding a tournament and the best champion, it's beneficial. The only thing that's weird about college football, because it obviously dominates the conversation, you know, in the sports world from, you know, middle of October through the end of November, then they kind of give it up in December, and they don't play for 3 weeks. And they kind of give up their momentum. So a 16-team playoff would keep that momentum going all the way through January 1st.
Also, you'd have to take away some regular season games, because you can't have them playing 16 games or more.
Do that in 1AA, though, and nobody seems to have a problem with it.
Well, they don't play – they play 16. I think they play the 16 game.
No, they play 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, they play, but they don't play regular season. So you don't play 12. So that's – okay, so get rid of a game and play an 11-game regular season. And, yeah, if you win the national championship, you're going to play 15 games. Okay. So as a 1AA kid, you know, that's, quote, student-athlete, he's more valuable as a student than a D1 kid. I don't understand the argument of the people that are worried about playing games. I understand that it's something that they can stand on a rooftop and shout about and appear to be pious.
Well, but that's...
The real reality of it is that kid is no more valuable than a 1AA kid.
Oh, see, that's the point, is that, you know, if I look at it, because I actually did this over the weekend, is you look at it and you go, okay, Ohio State spends, what, $109,000 a player? Not on football, but just overall athlete, right? If the league minimum is $600K, then you see what I'm talking about there? Once you play 16 games, you're playing as many as the pros do. And I just always think that that's going to land them in a weird spot, especially with the class action suits they've recently lost.
Well, is it a weird spot that a guy just got $75 million guaranteed to coach Texas A&M and he's under 500 the last 2 years?
No.
I mean, college football has crossed the Rubicon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know that, like, and by the way, only one team's going to play 15, two teams are going to play 15 games. The vast majority are going to play 11 or 12.
That's true.
They're already, I mean, Ohio State play, what are they, 11 and 2?
But both, part of what makes,
they're going to play one more, you're going to play 14 games.
But part of what makes college football fun is that it is a fantasy world, and we've seen it with Ed O'Bannon. Someone's more than willing to make it real quick if they want to. I don't know if they can do that.
Well, I think they're past it. I mean, we're on borrowed time anyway. I mean, the amount of money in that sport that is being generated, there's strength coaches that make $1 million a year now, and 8 years ago they made $75,000. So there's so much money in that sport. And honestly, like, I don't know that money's the issue anyway. The amount of money that they paid to Fox pays to have the Big Ten championship game, I don't know if you noticed, but it was a 45-minute halftime, and they had about 2.5 hours of commercials. So they're getting their money's worth anyway. They're already cashing the checks. I know what you're saying, that you're going to make these student-athletes play more games, but you make the student-athletes play more games in the lower divisions. Are those kids worth less than the kids who play D1? I just don't think they have. I don't think that's an argument that you have any ground to stand on.
I think that they'll definitely make that argument, because especially if even if there's one
they'll
team or
it,
two
but
teams
it's
playing.
Disingenuous.
Yeah, but I understand
it's,
that it is disingenuous.
You know what I mean?
It is. It is. It absolutely is. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying that if they can, they will. What was I going to? Oh yeah, who do you think is going to win the whole thing? And are you excited to see Sam Darnold against Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, it'll force me to watch, you know, Sam Darnold play and get a real evaluation. I like Rosenbeth, you know, for the Browns. Like, to me, he's the no-brainer. Just take him and forget about it. Take him number one overall and be done with it. But I'll be interested to see Sam Darnold play. The last time I watched him play a full game was against UCLA, and he made some wild plays, but he's also, you know, can be wildly inconsistent and lacks discipline in the pocket. So that's a fun game. I mean, outside of playing in the playoff, Ohio State gets the best game. They're in Jerry World. They're against USC, a traditional rivalry and power, so they get all the things that you want. I tell you, I ain't betting against Bama. I mean, they're loaded. I mean, we know the talent that they have. They lost something like 39 man games at linebacker alone, and from what I understood, I heard Herb Street say this over the weekend, like 37 of those games are going to be coming back. Starts are going to be coming back. They'll be healthy at linebacker. I guarantee you, you hook Dabo Sweeney up to a lie detector test and say, who did you want to play in the college football playoff, he's gonna say, give me Ohio State. I want no part of Alabama. So I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama got in and did it. And maybe that's – look, Alabama is very much like Ohio State. They're really a mirror to Ohio State in 2015, except they actually did get in. Ohio State didn't. But I would be hard-pressed to bet against Alabama in this playoff.
Do you think, Bo, that Ohio State needs to do anything differently with scheduling – moving forward?
No. No, the schedule is fine. Everybody talks about Alabama playing Mercer. Ohio State played their Mercer, too. They just did it in October.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Bo, real quick, let me cut you off there.
Different.
Let me cut you off there.
Yeah.
Kevin Sumlin just talked about it, or it was David Shaw actually just talked about it this week, where he said there needs to be, if we're going to do this fairly, there needs to be a normalization of scheduling. And what he meant was no more, you know, while some teams are getting bye weeks, at the end of the year in November, other teams are playing brutal divisional games with injuries. He said, we need to get together and say, why do you get to play 9 conference games? I have to play 9. You get to play 8. Why do I have to play 2 more FBS teams? You get to play 1 last. Like, all of that, I agree with him. They need to normalize the schedules.
Sure. I agree with him as well. Let's remember that the reason that the Big Ten is playing 9 conference games is because of the Big Ten Network. So that they can have more games to show that are conference games that have interest. So that's the reason for that, is so that they can sell it to television and so that they can make more money. So that maybe gets you in trouble because you're playing more conference games than anybody else. I do agree with him there. I don't think that Ohio State should stop playing Oklahoma. I mean, Alabama did play Florida State. Florida State was 3rd in the country when they played them. They can't help it that Florida State fell apart because Jimbo lost the ear of the locker room. I think what the SEC has done in November is brilliant until you stop them, right? Because the idea of playing these garbage opponents the week before your rivalry game, by taking that game, what the SEC did is, instead of playing that game first week of the season or third week of the season, they just flipped it. And they took the conference game from the second to last week of November and played it first week, so that they own the first week from a television standpoint before the NFL starts. And then they put the garbage game right before the rival. So it makes perfect sense what they're doing. It's a smart move that they're doing. I wish the Big Ten would do it as well. They haven't. I do agree with Shaw that it should be as equal as possible. If everybody's going to play 9, then they all should play 9. I don't have a problem with that. But right now, though, the SEC is getting away with it, and I don't have a problem because they're just now thinking everybody else.
All right. Thank you, Bo. We look forward to talking to you again.
All right, boys. Have fun.
Thanks, Bo.
There he is, Bo Bishop, brought to you by Dos Equis on the Mercedes-Benz of Bedford Hotline.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.